First off, I want to obey my wife and tell you thank you for all of the prayers over last week. I wasn't here last week, under the weather, whatever you want to call it. But boy, did I sure learn a lot sitting at home. Not just because my wife was there teaching me, but I learned a lot through the preparation that I thought I was prepared for last week. And during that time of sitting there over the weekend and being quarantined into your house and you can't go anywhere, and it comes to the point where you're cleaning the garage, you know you are desperate, okay? And so such a needed time sometimes just to sit and think. And believe it or not, we don't like that, but that's something that we all need at some point. And so as I'm sitting there last week, I know I had the passage, and we're going to be in Luke chapter 15, so if you want to go ahead and turn there, we'll be in Luke chapter 15, and we'll start in verse 11. That was the passage that I had picked out for last week. But it turned out completely upside down from where I thought I was going to be last week to where I know that I needed to be this week. And so as we get into this passage, I do want to just, I want us all to stop for just a second. I want us to focus on why you're here. Because so many times we come because this is what we do on Sunday mornings. This is our opportunity to come and to study together and pray together and listen to God's Word and sing praises to Him. But when you get to a point that you can't come here, it changes your attitude. And that's where I got to last week, because I wanted to be here so bad, and they would not let me. And so many times we take for granted the opportunity we have to be in God's house, that, well, I'll just go next week, or I'll just go tonight. Never take for granted the opportunity you have to be in God's house. Take every advantage you have to be in His house, to worship Him, and to just be in His presence. And so, like I said, we are going to be in Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 11. So if you'd read along with me. And this is a passage, I know I preached on it about, November will be 2 years ago, and I normally don't try not to go back through a passage, but this is just one that God kind of hit me with, and so that's where we're at. Verse 11, it says, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to his senses, or came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fattened calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we just lift up your word today. Lord, we need your spirit to move among us. We need you to teach us what it is you have for us. Lord, show us in your word what you'd have us to apply to our lives. Lord, I hide behind the cross, and I just ask that you be glorified above all else, Father. We thank you and we praise you and we invite you here. In your name we pray. Amen. Like I said, as I look at this passage, there was so much there, and we went over it. And a lot of times when people preach on this passage, they talk about the decisions that the son made to take his inheritance and go and squander it in wild living. And that's what happened. But I don't want to talk about that, because that's something that every one of us do. We know how to do that. Excuse me. We don't need to be told that's how you do it. We're pretty good at that. But what we're going to talk about today is that when he came to his senses, man, how many times have you heard a statement like that? I wish you would come to your senses. Or one of these days he's going to come to his senses. And it's always referring to somebody else when I say it. Right? And when you say it, it's probably referring to somebody else. Wives, you're saying it to your husbands. Parents, you're saying it to your children. Husbands, you're smart enough not to say it to your wife. Okay? But it's one of those things that when we see it, it says he came to his senses, or he came to himself. This tells us so much, and we read and we understand this, if we read it correctly, that somehow he had got off track. Now, we don't know what led him to that point other than that wild living, but we're just going to start with him in the pig pen. Because I think that's what we need to understand for us. Is that so many times we find ourselves in the pig pen. Why are we in that pig pen? Look at this young man. He is a Jewish young man. And if you know Jews, a swine, a pig, was a very, very unclean animal. And not just dirty unclean. It was a spiritually unclean animal, and you had nothing to do with it. You didn't eat it. You didn't touch it. You weren't around it. Well, here is this young Jewish man that's out feeding pigs, and not only feeding them, wishing to eat what he was feeding them. And so as we look at this, we see this young man, this Jew, that should never be in that spot. That was just something against how he was brought up. And then here he is, he's starving. And his father had all kinds of food at home. We know that. But he's here starving. Nobody cares. It says no one gave him anything. He went from being in a family to now he is in a place where no one cares about him. What got him there? I look at it like this. It's the same as you and me. There's three symbols. There's the sheep that will just lower its head and it will just walk. And it will just eat and it will just wander and it will go. And before you know it, it's lost. There is that fish that follows this sparkling lure through the water. Man, it looks so good. Until all of a sudden it's too late. And then there's this duck that's flying through the air and it looks down and it sees all these decoys. And it's like, oh, that must be a good spot. And it goes down, and then the next thing you know, it realizes that's not a good spot. That's how you and I are when we find ourselves in that pig pen. It's not like this guy intended when he left the house, I'm going to go work in a pig pen. No, he was like that sheep that just wandered away. Or maybe he was like that fish that just followed and followed and followed that glistening lure that looked so good until it was just too late. Or maybe he was like that duck that just followed those decoys because all the friends around him were going that way and it looked they were all there having a good time, and the next thing you know, it's not a good time. We are the same way. We don't intend to end up in the pig pen. So why do we end up in the pig pen? I think it's those three reasons. Is we end up in the pig pen. And so the first thing that this young man, I want to focus on verse 17. When he came to his senses, when he came to himself, why? Why did he come to his senses? He realized he was in a place that he shouldn't be. How many times have you just looked up and realized, whether it's emotionally, whether it's mentally, whether it's spiritually, physically, you realize you are not in a place you should be? You got to that place, however, but you are there. This man, he's hungry, he's feeding these pigs, and all of a sudden he says, I am in a pig pen. Huge revelation, right? The smell ought to give it away. The animals ought to give it away. There's a lot to give it away. So why did he just all of a sudden one day come to his senses? If you can answer that, then you've been there. Because it just happens. It's not like we intend to. It's we end up getting to that place, and all of a sudden we know we should not be in that place. You've heard people say, oh, he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. If you're in the wrong place, there is not a right time. Think about that for just a minute. Because too many times we claim that the place is wrong only because the time is wrong. If I'm drunk in a bar, there's no good time. It's not the wrong place at the wrong time. It's the wrong place. Now, unfortunately for most of us, we like to pick what the wrong place is. I want to decide, is this a wrong place or is this a wrong place? That's okay. And that one's not too bad. We want to pick what is the wrong place. Got news for you. You don't have to pick. It's been chosen for you. But the problem is with our world today, we want to say, okay, today this would be the wrong place. But now tomorrow it might not be, because the situation may change. And we try to live off situational ethics. That's not in this book. If it's the wrong place, you ought to know it. Coming here today for me to tell you this is the wrong place, or this is the wrong place, or that's the wrong place, if that's what you came here for, then you're in trouble. Not that I won't tell you, but look at this man. He found out. He came to his senses. Nobody else, I'm sure other people had said, his friends, maybe his other brother, maybe other people had talked to him and said, you know, you're really not in a good place. But it comes to the point that you have to decide. He had to decide that he was in the wrong place. I can tell you every Sunday till I'm blue in the face that you're in the wrong place. But until you talk to God, till you get into His Word and He tells you that you're in the wrong place, you're never going to believe me. Well, Steve, you're living a different life than I am. We have different lives. We have different situations. God is calling me to do this, and He's calling you to do that. It's in the book. When He calls us, we have to walk as He walked. If the place is wrong, it's wrong. We don't want to accept that. We don't want to say, well, black and white, it's wrong. I listened to a guy this past week on a sports talk show, and he said, you know, I don't believe in the black and white. I think it's all gray. I'm like, dude, I'm not sure what you're looking at. But it's black or white. Now, I can try to paint it gray, and you can try to paint it gray, but it's black and white. When God says it, that settles it. You know that bumper sticker that used to say, God says it, I believe it, and that settles it? You can take that middle part out. If God says it, that settles it. And so that's where we're at. He realized that he was broke. He was a Jew in the midst of hogs. He was starving and nobody cared. He realized himself that he was in a place he shouldn't be. Now let's look at this other one that gets a little bit maybe more pointed. Not only does he realize he's in a place he shouldn't be, he realizes he's not in the place he should be. Let me say that again. He's not in a place he should be. So many times we like to think, you know, I'm not out carousing on Saturday night and doing this or doing that or sleeping around, and I'm not doing drugs and I'm not doing all these bad things, so I'm okay. I'm not in a negative place, so I'm okay. He realized, yes, I'm in a place I shouldn't be, but he also realized how many of my father's hired servants are better off than I am. How many of the people that are with my father are better off than I am? Until you and I as Christians realize we are not with the Father, because that's the best place to be. He realized not only was he in a bad spot, but there's a better place to be at home with the Father. And until you and I realize this is a bad place, but I'm still not in the best place with the Father, then I'm still in the wrong place. Because God has a plan for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. He has plans for you. But if I'm going to just step back and say, well, God, I'm not doing all those negative things I used to do. I'm not doing all those terrible things that other person is doing. I'm just living my life the way I feel like I should. How many statements in that, how many words in that statement were wrong? I. Because if I'm choosing where I'm going to live, if I'm choosing what places are right or wrong or not bad or not terrible, then I'm the one that's the God of my life. But when he says he has a place for me, he has a place for me. It doesn't say, Steve, pick out a place for yourself. Pick out a hope for yourself, Steve. You can do that. No, he says, like this young man here, he not only realized he was in a bad place, but he realized beyond that, that he was not in the best place. He was not with the Father. He had to come to a point of understanding those two things. Now, for Christians, most of us, it's really easy to understand that I should not be in a bad place. That's pretty easy for most any Christian. But the problem for a lot of us as Christians is when we're not in the right place. And that's with the Father in the center of His will. But how can I know that I'm in the center of His will? Let me show you a book. It's in there. I don't care if it was written that long ago. I don't care if it was written to people back then. It was written to you and me to tell us the will of God. If you are not out there, and I know you're going to think I'm pointing this at you, telling you you need to be out there doing this and this. No, I'm just telling you that God's Word says that we should be out there ministering to those that are in need. We should be out there serving those that God came to serve. We should be out there sharing the good news with the lost. If you're not ministering, sharing, and serving for the God of this universe, then you're not in the right spot. If I'm not doing those three things on a daily basis, I'm not in the right spot. But I'm satisfied with not being in the wrong spot. And so what we generally try to do is we generally try to say, okay, here's the wrong spot. Here's the right spot. We just try to hang out in the middle. But if you're not in the right spot, everything else is wrong. But for us in our mind, we don't want to look at it that way. Because then I'm giving up the choice. I'm surrendering my life to God. Are you willing to do that? If you are, you're going to have to be like this young man. He realized he was in the wrong spot. He realized he wasn't in the right spot. And something had to take place. There had to be a choice made. So today, everybody in here has got to make a choice. I don't care how old you are. Everybody in here has got to make a choice. Are you in the right spot or are you somewhere else? That's your question. Question for the day. Am I in the right spot? Because if you're not in the right spot, then you have to do like this young man. You have to make a choice. The biblical word is repent. It's basically turn away from wherever you're at to the place you should be and to God. And so what we have to do is we have to understand that a choice has to be made today. Well, I'm not sure I want to make that choice today. I mean, I kind of know I'm not all the way in the right spot. I'm really close, but I'm not. Or maybe I'm over here and I really don't care. I'm not going to make the choice. Well, if I make the choice not to be over there, then I've made the choice to be here. So you are going to make a choice today. Sorry to throw that on you, but you're going to make a choice today. This man, this son, chose, first of all, a change of heart. And he's sitting here in this pig pen. He's still in the pig pen. And he's saying, man, I should not be here. I should be at home with my father. I should be at home with my family. His heart began to change. That he knew he had to give up that pride of being a son and accept the authority of the father back at home. His heart had to change. Not only did his heart have to change, but then his location had to change. You know, I can stand over here and say, God, I know I'm in the wrong spot. I know I'm not in the right spot where you want me. And then the next day, say, God, I know I'm not where you want me. The next day, God, I know I'm not where you want me. If I really mean it, if my heart's really changed, what's going to happen? My location is naturally going to change. If your heart truly changes, you will not let yourself stay somewhere you shouldn't be. So with the heart change, automatically comes the location change. Look at this. He says, I know I need to be with the Father. And he says, I will arise. In verse 18, then in verse 20 it says, and he arose. He said, I know I need to. And then he got up two verses later and he did it. Because his heart had changed, his location changed. So when you find yourself in that pig pen, whatever it happens to be, or maybe it's not the terrible pig pen, but you're wandering down the street, you're not at home. You're not at home with the Father like you should be. Then that location needs to change. So a heart change needs to happen. And then the location change will naturally happen. But you know, there's something that so many people want to do. You know, I know I shouldn't be here. I'm just going to go. And I'm going to change my location. But I like that chair over there. My location changed, but my heart never really did. So what's going to eventually happen? If my heart doesn't change, then my location is going to end up drifting back because my heart never changed. I never gave my heart back to Jesus and said, Jesus, I know I am wrong. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm not where I should be. Change my heart, oh God. And that changes your location. But if all you change is your location, that's just geography. That does you no good. So after the heart change and the location change, look at what takes place for this young man. He goes back and the father receives him. Total restoration as a son. He comes back and he gives him three things. Man, I love these three things that he points out. He gives him a robe. I mean, as soon as he gets there, he tells him, you know, bring out the best robe. He tells the servants, bring out the best robe. This guy just came from a pig pen. I mean, he's got to be stinking it up. And the father says, go get the best robe, the one that's saved for special guests. And I want you to cover him up. I want you to see that he's still my son. You know, when he was in the pig pen, the father still knew he was his son. And even when I struggle, when I fall, I'm still a child of God. But I need to get back to the father. And when I get back, what does he do? He shows everybody else by giving me that robe that he sees me as righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. Man, there is a robe sitting at home waiting on this kid. And he's in a pig pen until he decides with the Father. And when he comes back, total restoration. The Father forgives him. The Father loves him. The Father places this robe over all of his filthy garments that he has on. God sees him as his righteous son. He gives him something else. He gives him a ring. It says, and put a ring on his hand. Well, that was a symbol that of authority. This man that has this ring, he has the authority on this land, on this farm. He has the authority on this property as a son. So when he comes back, like I said, the father still knew he was his son. But what about all those other servants? What about that other brother that had saw him walk away? When they walked by that pig pen, they saw him and they did not know he was a son. They knew he was somebody wallowing in a pig pen. So when he comes back, he gives him this ring of authority. That's not so the father knows he has authority. The father knows he's his son. That's so other people can see the authority of sonship has been restored. It's been there the whole time, but now you can see it. And he gives him that authority before those around him. The last thing I love, he says, and put sandals on his feet. Sandals were a sign that you're a part of the family and not a servant, not a slave. Because the servants and the slaves didn't have sandals. They didn't have shoes of any kind. So as he's bringing him back, he gives him the robe to show him that he doesn't see that filth anymore. He shows him that you have the authority. I want you to know that when I put this ring on your hand, you have the authority of sonship. But when we put these sandals on your feet, I want you to realize that you're no longer a slave to what got you in that pig pen. Too many times we want to think about the robe of righteousness and the ring of authority, but we want to walk our way back. Well, I'm a son of God. I'm a son of God. It's okay. He gave you sandals so that you would not be a slave to that anymore. You have to turn away from it. You have to repent and go back to Him. So as we look at this passage, so much revolves around verse 17. When he came to himself, when he came to his senses, nothing else would have happened in this passage. No robe, no ring, no sandals, no fatted calf. Nothing else would have happened if he had not realized, man, I'm in the wrong place. Man, I'm not in the right place. And so today I want you to ask yourself those same two questions. Because yes, as Christians, we can still end up in the wrong place. The sheep, the fish, the duck. We can still end up there. I can't do it for you. Your spouse can't do it for you. Your mom or dad can't do it for you. Your brother or sister can't do it for you. You have to come to your senses. I have to come to my senses and realize I am in a bad place. Well, Pastor, what if people see me get up? What if people see me repent? They're going to know I was in a bad place. But they're going to see you going to the right place. And there are too many times that we have to make that decision today. Are you in the right place? Well, of course, I'm sitting in the pew at the church. Of course I'm in the right place. Now, that might be the right place according to me or according to your spouse or your parents. But is it the right place God has for you as His child in the center of His will, serving, ministering, and sharing the gospel? Because one of these days that eastern sky is going to split open. And my question is, are you going to be in the right place when that happens? That's all I got. I think that's plenty. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day. Lord, I pray right now for each of us in this place. Lord, I'm not going to talk back through the sermon. You heard it. Lord, show us where you want us to be. Lead us, guide us, mold us into what you want us to be. God, teach us to love you more. Teach us to accept your love for us. Teach us to be what you desire us to be, that we can bring you glory, that we can honor you, that we can praise you with our lives every day. God, love on each person in this place. But Lord, help us to love on you the way you deserve. I thank you and I praise you for this day, this opportunity, but most of all, for the love you have for me. God, I will never understand why, but I will never doubt it. And I thank you for that. In your precious name I pray. Amen.